can at least keep their season alive once again and put doubt in the minds of the Florida Panthers. We'll talk about that on today's edition of the Locked On Leafs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's your team every day.
Your Locked On Maple Leafs, your daily podcast on the Toronto Maple Leafs, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello and welcome into the May 12th edition of the Locked On Leafs podcast, one-stop shop for all things Leafs. I'm your host, Mike DiStefano from TSN 1050 Toronto Radio, also known as Al's brother on TSN's Overdrive and TSN 1050's Leafs Lunch. Joining me, it's my co-host, Dave Morisuti from Sportsnet, also a writer for the NHLPA. If you're an everydayer who listens to the show, really appreciate you guys stopping by once again. If you're new to the podcast, Locked On Leafs is a daily Maple Leaf-centric show. So be sure to subscribe for free wherever you get your podcast from, including on YouTube, where you can subscribe to us. We've got new content coming out each and every weekday. So make sure that you're subscribed and join the Locked On Leafs family. Dave, game five, do or die once again. It's going to be do or die from here on out, because that's what happens when you go down 0-3. They're able to keep the season alive once again by winning in game four, or the first time by winning in game four. What's your comfort level that they can do it again and keep her alive and make a series out of this thing?
I mean, yeah, the idea of them not being as good at home as they are on the road, there's certainly some probably going to be some nerves there. I wouldn't be surprised if many people are a little bit worried about that. But I just think this team has the right mindset right now. You can't look at the big picture of trying to come back down for 3-1. Just try to focus on the one game. Just take it one game at a time. And I think that's probably the best way you can go about it, especially when you have home ice. You still have home ice advantage, you know, over if you can continue and extend the series.
Yeah, for me, I think like game five is maybe the most meaningful game to win, because I think this is the game that you can flip pressure. I think pressure is still on the Leafs, obviously, because if they lose, they're going home. But if they can flip pressure by winning tonight, I think all of a sudden now Florida, some doubt creeps in the mind of them, like, oh no, like has this team figured it out? Because I think we could comfortably say that the first three games, like, the Maple Leafs weren't very good, right? It's not like the Florida Panthers were, you know, this gangbuster team who, you know, found some formula that just, you know, has beaten down the Maple Leafs. I think the Leafs just weren't playing nearly up to their standards and unfortunately got themselves in this hole. I thought they played way better in game four. And if they can replicate that same level of defensive urgency and then, you know, a little bit more offensively, you know, this team's in a good spot. And I think Florida knows that. And if they give up this game and it's 3-2, you go back home and now all of a sudden the pressure is flipped. They've got to close on home ice. And I think that becomes a little bit less of a stressful situation for the Toronto Maple Leafs. But again, it's got to start with a win tonight. The only way to get it back to Florida, to flip that script, is to win tonight. So it's got to happen.
Yeah, no, it has to. And, you know, it would be very disappointing if the season came to an end at home, considering the Leafs' record at home this season, right? Like, this is supposed to be where they are at their best. So they have every reason to, you know, they have every advantage now to try to win this game, right? You get to dictate the matchups. You should feel good about what Joseph Woll did in game four to continue that into game five. So, yeah, it'd just be very disappointing if the Leafs didn't come out and put out their best effort in front of the home crowd, where you should be able to get a little bit of a boost.
Yeah. So you mentioned it there. No Ilya Samsonov, who was declared out again for game number five, still has yet to practice with the squad since taking that injury in game three. So Joseph Woll gets the start. And, you know, he looked pretty good in his first game. I thought he was very, very sound in net. It's kind of Joe Wall's net right now, though, then, isn't it? Like, mm-hmm. if he wins a second straight game, even if Samsonov's healthy in game six, like, at this point, it's pretty much you're riding with Wall for the rest of this series at the very least, are you not?
Yeah, I think so. And I think Sheldon Keefe isn't even entertaining right now the thought of just making that switch, because why? Joseph Wall was really good in game four. Like, yeah, maybe if he had some nervous moments, you can maybe consider it, but no, I think you just stick with what's working right now. And I think Joseph Wall has looked a lot calmer in net than what we've seen from Samsonov at times. Yeah, Samsonov, if he didn't play the way that he did in the series against the Lightning in certain games, the Leafs aren't even in round two. But this is the playoffs. You have to ride the hot hand. Right now, the hot hand is Joseph Wall. So, yeah, they got to just continue to feed the beast and go with what's working.
Absolutely. We will continue breaking down this game. But before we go any further, Dave, let me tell you and our good friends listening to the show about one of today's show sponsors, and that's eBay Motors. A championship team is about each player being a perfect fit, same with the vehicle. So for parts that fit, head to eBay Motors and look for the green check. Stay in the game with eBay Guaranteed Fit. ebaymotors.com. Let's ride. eBay Guaranteed Fit, only available to U.S. customers. Eligible items apply. Exclusions apply as well. Welcome back into the Locked On Leafs podcast. It's Mike DiStefano and Dave Morisuti. Big game tonight, game five down at Scotiabank Arena. What's your plan? How you watching the game? You watching it with someone? Watching it by yourself? I know it was game seven. You watched it with our old buddy Jose. What's your plan tonight?
It's going to be the same. Jose's coming over. We're going to watch the game here at home, because I'm gonna be a little guilty. I was not home for game one, two. I was somewhere else. So we're sticking to what works. I'm not overly superstitious, but I'm also
You're a little stitious.
Yeah. Like, I prefer watching the game at home. Like, to be completely honest, I like watching it. I can be very intense watching a game, and if other people are very over the top, nervous or excited, it kind of, I don't need that. I will talk during the game. Like, you can talk to me, that's fine. But I have a way I've wanted to watch games. I used to watch games all the time, like bars and stuff. And nah, yeah. I just prefer the comfort of my home. I got a nice big ass screen TV that I like to watch it on. So yeah, like the comfort here. So we'll be sticking with that for tonight.
Yeah, I find I can't do it, you know, with the public anymore. I can't watch the games in public. It's like, so someone asked me for game four, they're like, hey, are you thinking about going down to the square? And I'm like, absolutely not. Like, as much as I would love to go and, you know, just be part of that atmosphere, I think that would be cool. I don't think I can handle it. Like, I get super nervous and super anxious watching these games. And yeah, I definitely don't know if I would be able to handle doing that in a game, in a do or die game at the very least. If they're up 3-1, maybe for like a closeout where, you know, if they lose, nothing could happen. But if they lose and it's curtains on the season, I don't want to be down there. Absolutely not. I want to be on my couch and I just want to sit there and be a little upset. However, I will go in the building and I'm going to be in the building tonight. So I'm excited to be there. Hopefully, if they can keep it alive, because I do not want to be watching the handshake line tonight. That's one thing I do not want to be doing. And in order for that to happen, Dave, what do you think is the most important thing that the Maple Leafs have to do tonight to make sure that there's no handshake lines going on here in Toronto?
I think you gotta, that effort you put defensively in game four, you gotta bring that in game five. I think, yes, you wanna talk about putting up the offense and scoring the goals, but I think if you're cheating for offense too much, you're gonna leave yourself exposed defensively. And I think the Leafs realize that, and I think their awareness on defense in game four was just so important. And I think that's the best way to shut Florida down, because I think Florida will cheat for offense. We saw it many times. How many times a guy is kind of just trying to sneak by the defense to get that odd man rush or try to get that breakaway. So I think if you're the Leafs, you realize that if you play strong, stingy defense, suffocating defense, you have a much better chance at beating this Florida Panthers team.
Yeah, 100%. I think defensively, they got to play with the same urgency. I want to see more from this team offensively. It's been six straight games where they've only been able to put up two goals. It's really bizarre, because when you look around the league, this is the highest scoring playoff since 1993. So in 30 years, this is the highest scoring playoffs that we've seen. And you wouldn't think that if you're watching Toronto games, because they're only putting up two a night. But everyone else seems to be really loading it and putting pucks in the back of the net. Not Toronto, though. That's got to change. And I think what we saw, there were shades of the core four starting to kind of come back to life in that last game. I think tonight maybe is when that erupts. You know, the Mitch Marner volcano, I think, is about to erupt. Nylander, big game Will. He continues to play his best when his back's up against the wall in those big games, so I think he's going to be fine. But I really need Austin Matthews to take over tonight. That's the guy I'm kind of looking at that I believe still needs to arrive. I thought that he was decent in game three. Like, I thought Marner had a really good game. I thought Nylander was the best player. But Austin Matthews, I think, offensively at least, I think this is when he arrives and he kind of puts a stamp on the series and, you know, keeps this thing alive. You know, he's got to do that for this franchise. So that's who I'm kind of leaning on tonight and looking at, saying, all right, that guy's got to show up. He definitely has to do something. He's yet to score in the series. I mean, four straight games that a goal for him is very uncharacteristic, extremely uncharacteristic. I think that has to come to an end tonight. He's got to find the back of the net and try and create and find some offense. And ultimately, too, I feel like once they get to Bobrovsky, I feel like that maybe the bubble kind of bursts on him. And if that happens, boy, I think the Leafs are in a real good spot, because if they can get to Bobrovsky and his confidence gets shook, I mean, you've seen this guy fall apart. Like, he's got a long history of him falling apart. So that's one thing too, that I'm wondering if they can get the offense going, if they could finally get a couple of bounces to go their way, which started in game four, that continues in game five, maybe get Bobrovsky off his game. And all of a sudden, you know, you're putting up four, five, six goals tonight. And this is a different looking series heading back to Florida, if that's the case for game six.
Yeah, no, I think Austin Matthews is going to be a big part of that. Sergei Bobrovsky certainly has had his number in this series. I just think you got to find ways to just make Sergei Bobrovsky uncomfortable and get him moving. You look at the Mitch Marner goal. But that really shouldn't go in, because Mitch Marner is usually not scoring a lot from that, from, you know, from the blue line. But it's because there was traffic in front. You know, Bobrovsky couldn't see it. Things like that are going to be important. I think Austin Matthews has got to utilize that a little bit more, try to get Bobrovsky to move a little bit, make sure he's not set as much. So, yeah, Austin Matthews definitely needs to come alive a little bit more. And I just think the Leafs in general just need to continue with that simple, you know, making those simple plays on offense. Because even if he comes out and you get a rebound out of it, those are your odds of scoring on that are a lot better than just trying to beat Bobrovsky with no traffic or anything in front.
Now, we've spent a lot of time talking about Toronto and what they got to do and this and that. But, like, what type of response and pushback are you expecting from the Florida Panthers? Because they got a say in how tonight's game goes as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, you look at Matthew Tkachuk, Barkov, they weren't really good in the last game. And I think if you're the Leafs, that's something you got to look out for. What's Tkachuk going to do in a game like this, right? He's kind of the straw that stirs a drink, right? You know he's going to try to rattle. I think him, even Sam Bennett, you know, like, those guys are going to try to do those things physically to irritate. And you just can't get yourself goaded into it right now. At this point, you know, the Leafs aren't getting the benefit of the refs, you know, calls as well. So you just gotta rise above it. It's going to be hard. I understand that. It's going to be very hard. But I think the Leafs have shown that if they just stick to what they're doing and not worry about the things that Bennett and Tkachuk are trying to do on the ice, it should work out. But, you know, the fact that they were able to limit those guys in the last game should provide a little bit of comfort, considering the first two games of the series, those types of players were a problem for Toronto.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, really quickly, let's do a little rapid fire. Three keys to the game. You start with the first one. Go ahead.
First one for me, I think Joseph Woll has got to translate the effort from game four into game five. I think if you see that effort again, Leafs should have a pretty good chance to win this one.
Yeah, I think the Maple Leafs got to keep their feet moving in both ends of the ice. I think that was the biggest difference in game one, was their feet kept moving, they utilized their speed, and it neutralized Florida's. So if they can continue to do that and continue to, you know, get into the neutral zone, their breakouts were a lot stronger, it was a lot quicker, their defensive effort, they closed easier, they forced more turnovers, and they kept, Florida to the perimeter. I think speed is going to be the name of the game tonight, and if they can make sure that they don't allow Florida to use theirs, I think that'll bode well for the Maple Leafs tonight. What's one more for us, Dave?
One more. I just think the defense, right? I think they got to find you got to, like, TJ Brody, Jake McCabe, Timothy, like, those guys just have to continue. Like, don't make those gaffes. Stay on top of the Panthers. I think that was a really good bounce back effort from them, and they're going to have to do it again against the Panthers tonight.
Yeah, for sure. All right, we'll take one more quick break. When we get back, we'll go around the league a little bit because there's some news that's been going on. We do have a team that's booked their ticket into the Eastern Conference Finals. I'll tell you who that is. And there is a suspension over on the Western side of the bracket. We'll talk a little bit about that controversy as well. I'm Mike DiStefano with Dave Morosutti. We'll continue with the Locked On Leafs podcast after a word from our show sponsors. Hello and welcome back into the Locked On Leafs podcast. I'm Mike DiStefano. I've got Dave Morosutti with me today. The Maple Leafs are hoping that they can storm back and have a date with the Carolina Hurricanes in the Eastern Conference Final, because Carolina last night advanced. They beat the New Jersey Devils, and they are now the first team through to the next round. I got to tell you, I was a little surprised on how easily Carolina put away New Jersey. Like, 4-1. I was expecting a much tighter matchup between those two teams.
Yeah, no, I think watching that series, Carolina does exactly what Carolina does. Played incredibly to their structure of their game. They follow their game plan. They do the simple things right. And I thought New Jersey was almost like exactly the same way as Carolina, in terms of they were very disciplined in what they do. And they also have that speed factor that I thought was going to give Carolina fits, especially because Carolina is missing so many of their top players on offense, like no Svechnikov, no Pacioretty, Teravainen. Like, that's a very tough obstacle to overcome, the loss of those guys. And I know, Jack Hughes was injured going into this elimination game, and New Jersey just looked like they were inexperienced. The inexperience caught up to them, I think. A lot of guys just weren't ready for what Carolina was going to bring to them in that game, and a lot of running around, like skating around, and just uncharacteristic play from the New Jersey Devils. But I think it was a lesson that they needed to learn, and I think that's a good young team going forward.
Yeah, I believe Jack Hughes was injured. Apparently, there was some sort of injury. There was some thought that there was some gamesmanship going on with him being hidden within line rushes, and I don't know the whole story or exactly what's up there. But I guess there was an injury that was there also. But either way, was not able to pull out the win. They lose in overtime, and Jesperi Kotkaniemi ended up ending it in OT. You think they're a little happier now about that contract?
You mean Jesper Fox?
Sorry, why did I think it was Kotkaniemi?
There was a few people made that mistake because he's the one that shot it, but Fox was the one that got it. But I mean, Kotkaniemi was really good in that game five. Like, he was the reason why they won, because he did score in that game. I thought Kotkaniemi. Yeah, sure. Is that contract still something you're shaking your head about, maybe a little bit. But when he's like, it was a guy like Kotkaniemi stepping up for the other guys that were injured that gave the Carolina Hurricanes a chance to win that series. And also, Jesper Foss missing the open net earlier in the game. Hockey gods did him a little bit of a favor there, and he got the OT winner off a deflection from a Kotkaniemi shot.
Yeah, I'll blame the play-by-play call, because when I was watching the highlight of the game winner, they said Kotkaniemi scored it, and I just didn't follow up to see if it was tipped or not, so that's on me. But either way, congrats to the Hurricanes. I'll say this. Last time the Maple Leafs were in an Eastern Conference final, it was to play the Hurricanes. So maybe we can recreate something from 21 years ago. 01-02 was the last time that those two teams met in the playoffs, and it was in the Eastern Conference final. So maybe it could happen again. But in order for that to happen, obviously Toronto going to have to win tonight. All right, quickly, Dave, I do want to touch on this Alex Pietrangelo situation. Alex Pietrangelo, if you missed it, kind of, you know, a ruthless tomahawk chop to Leon Draisaitl toward the end of game four between the Golden Knights and the Oilers. And he has now been suspended for one game because of the action. It's interesting. I feel like there's a pretty large difference of opinion in how this should have been dealt with. I've heard some people say, nah, probably just the fine. If he really wanted to hurt him, then he could have, all the way to, that should have been 2, 3, maybe even 4 games, because it was so deliberate and so wrong and uncalled for. Where do you sit on the spectrum? The NHL went with one game. Did they get it right?
I thought it was light. I thought there was a clear intent to injure. Like, I don't want to hear, he hit him or he knew there was padding or stuff like that. No, no. When you go two-hand tomahawk chop, like, the stick was over his head. He knew exactly what he was trying to do there. And it was Leon Draisaitl who's had, you know, if you injure him, the Oilers, like, their chances just go drastically down because of how important he is to that team. But I do, like, if you listen to the video, I watched the video, the explanation, even though it's the most driest thing you can ever do. They said that Pietrangelo has never been suspended or fined in his career. And they made sure to say spanning 952 games. So basically they're saying this guy usually doesn't get himself into trouble, so we're not going to throw the rule back at him completely, which I think is absolute BS, considering Michael Bunting was never suspended once in his career. And they gave him 3 games for a play that I thought, yeah, was reckless and dumb. So what Michael Bunting was reckless and dumb, Pietrangelo was pretty reckless and dumb too, and should have gone, I think, more than one. But I think the fact that Draisaitl wasn't hurt, injured, also played a factor. And I think that's wrong, because the intent was to hurt. And that's why it was subjected to supplemental discipline in the first place.
Yeah, like I was saying to somebody, I bet you it would have been a couple games if Draisaitl would have, you know, played up his acting skills a little and, you know, kind of dropped, and then was after the game, you know, he's going to be day-to-day, we'll see. And then all of a sudden, maybe that suspension becomes a 2-3 game, or probably 2. I think 2 would have been. If it got to 3, I thought that would have been a little much. I would have been able to live with 2. I actually think 1 game is probably the right call, to be completely honest with you. I think it's because the injury did not occur. If there was an injury, or if Draisaitl played it up as one, maybe to just for gamesmanship purposes to get Pietrangelo out of his hairs for a couple of games, then I think the NHL could have made the case and the argument that it should have been 2 games. But I think one is probably sufficient, and I think it's the right call. And I kind of anticipated it happening once I saw the Darnell Nurse news as well. Like, Darnell Nurse also suspended for this upcoming game because he had an instigator penalty at the end of the game, instigated a fight within the last 5 minutes, which I still think is just an absolute ludicrous rule. But what are you going to do? It's funny, though, because then I was thinking about it afterwards. Like, what would have happened if Marner would have, like, what happened if he would have fought Tkachuk? Would that not have been an instigated by Tkachuk? Could that not have been an instigator and a suspension for the next game if Marner would have just dropped the mitts with Kachuk and went?
Probably not, because the NHL is so inconsistent when it comes to making these calls. Like, I don't even know if the NHL realized that rule. Like, the referee realized that rule when he initially called. Like, the issue with the Darnell Nurse one was that, like, Nick Hague challenges him to a fight. He doesn't do it, then he does it. Like, you had two willing combatants here. In the Kachuk-Marner situation, it was all Kachuk. So, yeah, if Marner decides to drop the gloves, even unwillingly, yeah, Kachuk would have deserved something. I just think the rule is dumb. I actually think there should have been more done to curb what happened at the end of the Leafs-Panthers game, because the game was over. Like, there's just no reason for that stuff, versus what happened with the Oilers-Golden Knights, where, you know what, Nick Hague wanted to fight. Let them fight. Don't punish Darnell Nurse because Nick Hague wanted to fight him.
Yeah, like, and realistically, I think a lot of people feel that that's the only reason why Pietrangelo actually got a game, was because they were going to follow through with Darnell Nurse, and they couldn't follow through with Nurse and then not levy some sort of suspension to Alex Pietrangelo. So they basically said, all right, we'll give them both a game. It'll be a wash for both sides, and they can come back for game six, I guess, which is classic NHL, right? Classic NHL. They don't really take things and look at them individually. They're like, well, we got to look at the grand scope of things. Like, oh, just so annoying. So darn annoying. Anyways, Dave, that'll do it for us here today on the podcast. I'd like to thank you all for listening and supporting the show. You can subscribe to the Locked On Leafs podcast on all podcast platforms and receive daily Leafs content. Follow myself on Twitter at @Mickey_Canuck. Follow Dave at @D_Morrissuti. Follow the show as well at Locked On Leafs. We'll be back with another episode tomorrow. Maybe. I'll tell you what, we will not be back. We'll be back if they lose, because it's the weekend. I realize it is the weekend. Tomorrow's my birthday too. So I'm hoping, just praying, that we do not need to do a post-mortem show tomorrow and they come out with the victory, and we can watch them play again on Sunday and return on Monday for the good folks listening to this show. And hopefully we're teeing up at Game 7 also. We'll see. It's a big weekend. Friday, Sunday, both must wins. We'll see what happens. Until then, guys, enjoy the games. Keep locked right here on Locked On Leafs.